Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you all to the January 7th meeting of the Board of Education, and I would ask our superintendent, Cheryl Petisich, to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Turning to item number three, changes in the meeting agenda, there are a number of changes. We have replacement pages for item K1, instructional schedule A5 and A10, item K2, non-instructional schedules B2, B7, and B11, and we have two addenda, item H1, approval of side letter of agreement between the Three Village Central School District, the Three Village Teachers Association, and the TVTA employee named in the attached confidential Schedule B, and item H2, the approval of the Memorandum of Agreement with the United Public Service Employees Union School Monitor Unit. Turning to item 4, student recognition. This is always the high point of our evening. Certificate of Achievement, I'd like to invite Erin Blaney.
Good evening, everyone. It is my honor to be here to recognize one of our student athletes this evening, but before I do, I would like to invite Casey Gavigan, who is the person we are recognizing up in front of the podium with me, along with her coaches, Mr. Chris Gordon and Mr. Jeff Perfetti.
Figure Casey would make you stand up.
It is my pleasure to be here tonight to honor and recognize New York State champion Casey Gavigan, who is a junior on the girls' varsity swimming and diving team. This season, Casey excelled in a way that only a few people have, which put her in the ranks of elite athletes. Once again, Casey and her teammates, who are coached by Mr. Christopher Gordon and Mr. Jeffrey Perfetti, won the Suffolk County Championship title for the 23rd consecutive year, and along the way, Casey proceeded to achieve her own personal goals as well. During the course of the season, Casey broke the school record for the 100-yard backstroke and had a personal best time at the county and state qualifiers, which earned her the opportunity to compete at the New York State Championships and the USA Swimming's Junior Nationals. Casey entered the New York State Championship ranked fourth in the state, and she proceeded to prove that very often rankings don't mean much, as she went on to win first place in the 100-yard backstroke, making her a two-time New York State champion. For if you recall, Casey stood before us last year as she was recognized as a member of Ward Melville's 200 medley relay New York State championship team as well. This outstanding achievement has been achieved through the hard work and dedication to her sport that Casey has displayed over the years. The amount of time, effort, talent, and commitment that is necessary to qualify and win at this level of competition is unimaginable. Casey, we are so proud of your accomplishments, and on behalf of the Board of Education, the District Administration, and the Athletic Department, I would like to congratulate you and your coaches on this exceptional achievement. Congratulations, Casey.
Thank you. We are very pleased and privileged to have legislator Kara Hahn with us to join us this evening to honor our girls' swim team. Legislator Hahn is an individual deeply dedicated to our community. Prior to her election, Legislator Hahn was president of the Civic Association of the Setauket and Stony Brook, and in recognition of her tireless dedication for public service, she was honored as the Village Times Herald 2009 Civic Woman of the Year. She continues to be a steadfast advocate for children, passaging policies that increase background checks at daycare centers, that save lives by putting opiate antidotes in the hands of first responders used during suspected overdoses, and that will keep guns out of the hands of individuals deemed to be a threat to themselves or others. We are honored to have her join us this evening as a member of our community. Legislator Hahn. There we go.
Got my green and gold on.
Yes, she does.
Next on our agenda is number five, our first public participation session. This will be up to 30 minutes in length, and we ask each individual to limit his or her comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing none, I'd like to turn to number six, minutes and bid. C, the minutes of December 10th, 2014. May I have a motion, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Germano, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? The minutes are approved. Turning to bids, bid C 2356, the freestanding maintenance facility at North Country. Mr. Carlson?
As part of our bond referendum from this past year, we're going to be constructing a new maintenance building on the south side of this building, which will free up some space actually down the hall here, where we'll be able to expand our academy offerings as well as begin the process of putting in a technical education, a CTE, career and technical education program. And the contracts for that is being recommended for award tonight. It's four different contracts, one for general construction, one for plumbing, one for HVAC, and one for electrical. We had a total of about, I think it was about 20 companies submit bids, and these are the four lowest bids, and it's well within our budget on this.
Good.
We'd like to begin work immediately.
Dr. Kerman, second. Ms. Mendelson, all in favor? Opposed? The bid is approved. Turning to number seven, reports, student representative report. George?
Thank you. A lot of exciting stuff as we move into the new year. Just last night, the boys basketball team had an exhilarating win over Longwood. It's a real nail-biter. Coming up, we have a whole series of winter concerts at the high school. Tomorrow is the chorus concert. Next Tuesday will be the orchestra concert. And the following Tuesday is the band concert. I would really encourage everybody to attend. These are some real phenomenal groups. I personally plan the orchestra, but I can say that there's some really, really great concerts. The senior prom fashion show is coming up on Thursday the 29th, and that's a big community event where the proceeds will be going towards scholarships for seniors. So that's what the month's looking like.
Very good. Thank you very much. Next is F Music Department. Mr. Scanlon?
Okay, good evening. Continuing with our board presentations on different departments for this school year, we're, tonight's department is the music department, which is the K-12 department. When I started here 2.5 years ago, the superintendent called me and said, by the way, we're changing the title of the position, and you're now the director of music. I said, oh, that's great. I only played the bagpipes when I was in college, so that really didn't help me very much. But I was very lucky to have a wonderful group of people to work with. And I'm going to introduce some of them this evening. Our current configuration has me overseeing the department, but I'm very lucky to have three leads in each of the levels in the district to work with. And the other 20 some odd teachers in the music department divided among our eight buildings. So they're going to get up here at, in a few minutes and talk about their particular levels, and I'm going to sit down and applaud them. So I'm going to move right along. The elementary lead is Sue Arpoli. Our junior high school's lead is Anthony Pallera, and the high school is Linda Contino. Just to make sure that we are aware, all of our teachers perform in this area. So this is probably one of the greatest uses of professional development. Our teachers are not just simply sole practitioners. They're out there doing their craft on a daily basis. They're actually performing at our concerts, they serve in many different roles, and they're out in the community performing. In addition, they serve as guest conductors, accompanists at all our performances district-wide. The program is predominantly dependent upon the interest of students. So our teachers really try to attract students to the program at a very early age. The love of music does begin in our elementary level, and we hope that it continues straight through. Judging by the success of the students that have gone on to colleges, and Ward Melville is looked at as one of the premier music programs in this region. We have a lot of schools that come here to recruit. Obviously, our levels are through the elementary schools, the junior high, and the high school. This is a feat, given these tough economic times, that should be applauded by, to the board and this community. Sadly, there are districts and other districts that have taken away the music departments, particularly in the elementary levels, but unfortunately because of the budgetary constraints, they're trickling that through middle level as well. So we are very blessed in that regard. And we do offer band, chorus, and orchestra. To our and to Sue Offerly.
Another meeting, I'm sure. I brought that up to Kevin. He'll have to work on that for us. So these are our enrollments currently in our 4th, 5th, and 6th grade elementary electives, which is the band, the chorus, and the orchestra. Interesting, I have no idea why band and chorus have the same exact number of students participating, but our instrumental program 4th through 6th right now is 1,200 students, which is amazing. And our 5th and 6th grade chorus has 729, which is probably about 90% of our students in the elementary 4, 5, and 6 participating in our elective groups. The question is, how do the kids get there? How do we pull them in? And that starts in our primary grades. Our elementary school, K to 6, has music once a week. But we build on that. When they get to 4th grade and the instruments come into play, we add lessons. That's 2. Halfway through the year, end up with a beginning rehearsal. So by 4th grade, they're getting 3 opportunities for music. In 5th and 6th grade, when we add our advanced groups in, they get 2 rehearsals. They get chorus as an opportunity, which is also either 1 or 2 a week, which means our kids are afforded 5 or sometimes even 6 opportunities a week to perform in our groups. So it's a pretty amazing thing that we have here. So today, when I was all worried, what do I say about our program, blah, 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 and I'm all nervous and pacing in my office, 2 sixth graders come into my room, and they say, we're having indoor recess, and is there anything we can do to help you? And I was like, I got a speech. You guys tell me what you think. And this is what I read to them. I said, I want you to make sure that everything that I'm listening to you is what you guys have experienced here, K to 6. So this is what we do. Basic elements and fundamentals of music are introduced and developed through a variety of hands-on activities, which include, but are not limited to, this is the point when I said to the girls, listen very carefully, singing, playing, moving, dancing, reading, writing, composing, listening, internalizing, audiating, verbalizing, improvising, creating, criticizing, critiquing, improving, and performing. And I looked at these 2 girls and I said, did I leave anything out? And one of them looks up and says, you forgot coloring. And I said, coloring? She goes, yeah, we like to color. And I was like, but we don't color in 6th grade. She's like, well, we should. And I was like, okay, I'll figure out a lesson where we can do coloring in 6th grade music. And that's what any of the people in our music staff at the elementary school would do, because we are completely 100% student-focused. And it absolutely carries over into every other aspect of learning: math, history, science, language, art, health, even physical education. All aspects of music carry across the board within our curriculum. And that's why we have numbers like this when the kids get to 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. It's an amazing thing. Where's Kevin? Left hand, right? Left side? Go to the next one. Did I get it right? No. Ooh. Hold on. Thank you. Events and extracurricular. I'm going to talk to you about the extracurricular first, because those are really groups and opportunities that are afforded to the kids after school. Many of them are currently running. Some of them are not running this year for one reason or another, but they are our chamber orchestra, our wind ensemble. We've had a jazz band, glee clubs. Most of the schools do a school musical, which is great because it feeds into Jelinas and Murphy and Greece at the high school, which is fantastic. And we also have a wind ensemble that happens as well. But the events are the big one, because most of the events that are up there are opportunities that the kids have had, you know, here, and here, there. But there are a couple that I really want to mention in order. LISFA, which is the Long Island Strings, we have 19 students that participated or are participating in a few weeks. NISMA, we have 129 students that attended last year, outstanding grades for 90% of them. Moving Up, which happens every year for our 6th graders at the end of the year when they perform. Flag Day, which is phenomenal because every building that has Flag Day has the entire community, school community, singing and performing together. And I don't think there's any other event that everybody gets to participate in, except maybe an ice bucket challenge that happens every once in a while. But so those are huge. The one that I actually wrote a little paragraph about that I want to really emphasize, because to me it's the highlight of the elementary program, is our all-district festival. And it says up there that we have 200 students. This year on February 9th, we are going to have 384 sixth grade students participating in our festival. And this is what I want everybody to know about it. Unique to Three Village, our festival offers students and staff an opportunity to collaborate across the district. Where only a few of our elementary students would qualify for SCAMIA, we provide the same type of experience for over 350 of our students district-wide. Music is selected by our full elementary music staff and initially prepared by the home school directors. Students then come together to work with a guest conductor and perform at Ward Melville High School on the stage that they will eventually end up on together. To me, this is the number one highlight of our music program at the elementary level. It's where the children start in kindergarten and move to by the time that they're in sixth grade. So there's all this stuff on the page. But everything that's up there and everything that I've sort of put before you, one of my colleagues sitting behind me, because I'm like, how do I end, is Karen Voley, our teacher from Mount, sent me this little note, and it says, at the elementary school level, we reach so many students to give them the opportunity to discover their skills in music and in turn relate to the world around them. That's what we do. And then they go off to junior high. So now I'm going to introduce that man about town, Mr. Anthony Pallera. You're up.
It is important to note that the success of the junior high school music program is due in no small part to the incredible hard work of our elementary school music staff and the strong foundation they provide for all of our students. As you can see, our numbers are very strong, and these figures do represent both Murphy and Gelinas. The numbers total just under 1,700, and they do include students that are enrolled in two music groups. My guess would be that's about 8 to 10% of the student music population. But anyway, any way you look at it, when you consider the total junior high school student population is 1,800 students, and we have 1,700 participating in music, it shows how large a role that music plays in the junior high school music experience. For all 7th, 8th, and 9th graders, we offer band, orchestra, and chorus. For our more advanced students, there's chamber choir and chamber orchestra, both of which the students audition for. In addition, we have general music and exploratory music. Oh, how do you go back? The junior high schools have up to 8 formal concerts a year. Our groups also perform at many events and activities both on and off campus. There's a lot of them here. Some of them include graduation, moving up day, Global Language Honor Society, National Honor Society, Art Honor Society. The bands march in the Memorial Day Parade. We compete at Music in the Parks. During the holiday season, we perform at the senior centers, the Veterans Home. We walk in the Setauket Holiday Electric Parade, as well as sing at the Stony Brook Tree Lighting. Last year, 347 students participated in the annual NISMA Festival. That's the New York State School Music Association. As a result, this year, 25 students were selected for LISFA, as Sue mentioned, the Long Island String Festival, and 48 were selected for SCAMIA, the Suffolk County Music Educators Association, better known as All County. Both junior high schools offer a wide variety of extracurricular clubs. Almost all of them are ensemble groups that run throughout the year, many of which culminate in multiple authentic public performances. The number of students participating in these various groups ranges anywhere from 35 to 200. And now I'd like to introduce Linda Contino.
Good evening, everybody. First of all, I'd like to publicly thank Irene Gish for her beautiful costumes in Greece. And for the, yes, Irene. So many poodles, just poodles everywhere. And to the real stars in the show that are sitting at that table, congratulations on your performance. So, Ward Melville High School. I do have the picture. I'll show it to you. You saw the picture. At Ward Melville, the music department, we really strive to carry on the fine music education that was already begun in the elementary school and the junior high school. Without that, we could not go forward at all. As you can see, our courses are listed on the slide for you. We have a very full program. We have like almost a collegiate-style program. These groups often model many of the top music school configurations of ensembles. You can see that we have many bands, a concert band, a symphonic band, a wind ensemble, and a jazz band that is level 2 and a jazz band that is level 3. The three choirs at the high school, women's choir, a concert choir, and camerata, and the orchestra has a 10th grade orchestra, symphony orchestra, chamber orchestra, and an additional evening chamber ensemble is offered to all of our string players. We have AP Music Theory, Theory 1 and Theory 2, all in one class. That's something to talk about. And we have exploratory music for our special learners and the history of rock and roll at the Academy. I need to go back, Kevin. Numbers, just one. The second slide didn't come up. Yeah. Our enrollment is... There it is. As you can see, our numbers are wonderful. We service about 600 students every day walk through our department and sit in our rehearsals and in our ensembles. And they all want to be there. They all elect to be in our program, and they share their musicianship and their zest for being there with us every single day. Right, George? That's right. We are a high visibility department. We are very visible in our school community and in the Three Village community. We teach our students to contribute to both places. That's part of being a good musician, is to contribute, and we really all do focus on that. All of our events that you see listed, our extracurricular events, and our, thank you, Kevin, and our experiences are centered around performance and musicianship. We like to expose our students to massive opportunities to experience all kinds of music. So some of the events at the high school just this year is working through. Besides our concerts at the high school, which mine is tomorrow night, as you heard, we have a spring concert and a winter concert for all of our ensembles, a pops concert, which is done in the front of the building. People and parents bring their lawn chairs. We sell hot dogs. It's a really fun night. I would love to have all of you be there some year to enjoy that. That's the beginning of what we do. It increases. Every week there is something else going on in our school. We have Broadway trips where we actually have meet and greets with former Ward Melville students who are working in the field. People who are on Broadway performing, stage managing, conducting in the pits, and so forth. We are so fortunate to keep that alumni relationship going with our current students. Caroling happened this year. It happens every year. The choir went around to the elementary buildings and to district office here. The orchestra caroled in the hospitals, in the veterans' home, and to other stops in the district as well. It's lovely to have a chamber orchestra carol, too. I think that's great. Our chamber ensemble played at the Charles Dickens Festival in Port Jefferson. The Camerata goes to the Ithaca College Choral Festival every year, which is such a unique festival because we premiere a new choral work every year. This year was a very big highlight for all of us. LISFA is something we also participate in. NISMA, 524 high school students performed a NISMA solo last year. And not only did they perform and achieve there, they also helped us to run it. We are now running our own NISMA satellite just for our district, because our numbers, sheer numbers of student musicians from elementary through the high school, completely overwhelmed smaller district festivals. So now we do our own, and ours is the talk of the state. Definitely. This year we had 18 students go to Allstate. Skamia Niskame, all county for the high school, had 47 students. And we're so fortunate this year to have one student accepted into All Eastern, Jake Vincel on violin, which is very, a very outstanding accomplishment for Jake. The Sunday at the Symphony concert that Phil Gelfer began also ties in with a third grade recruitment concert. And that's a wonderful event that they get to see the orchestra and hear the orchestra perform and understand what's going on. Choirs have performed at the Island game last year. My contact now works for the Yankees, and he invited us there. I'm so excited about that. That will be great. The choirs have also done a three-year exchange with the Maasai tribe, both musically and cultural exchange, and that's been a wonderful experience for the students. The orchestra this year was invited to perform at the NISMA Winter Conference by application, by audition, and that was a very strong performance for them and an honor for our orchestra to be featured during the concert hour portion. We have tons of visiting artists always coming to the high school. They do master classes. They do workshops. Just yesterday, we had the Binghamton Crosbys in for the choirs. It's an all-male a cappella group from SUNY Binghamton. The Fredonia Chamber Orchestra was in, working with the orchestra, workshopping and performing a concert with them. We have Monday, the Sharp Arrangement from Crane coming in. We also have other outside events that we participate in, such as outside concerts and other venues. The Chamber Orchestra recently performed at the Greek Church of the Assumption in Port Jefferson Station. The jazz bands are performing at a million festivals. Jazz Festival at CW Post, Skamia Jazz Day, a jazz festival at Five Towns College. They're going off to the Veterans Home with Jason. Just exhausting opportunities to have our students perform. The marching band, as you well know, is well and doing its thing, performing at parades, the Setauket Electric Holiday Parade, the varsity football games, and the halftime shows as a pep band. This year, the marching band, along with the choirs, will be marching down Main Street, USA at Disney World. We're taking the kids to perform there. Scholarship concerts by Tri-M Music Honor Society, the swing dance where Jazz 3 plays and performs the music, Camerata does singing telegrams, the orchestra just sold holiday wreaths. We perform at every single induction ceremony and award ceremony and graduation. We are busy like all of the time there, and all of us love it. We really treasure the relationship we have with our students because we learn from them every single day, because music doesn't stop no matter, you know, how old you are or how young you are. And the experiences, as I said earlier, do tie into our whole philosophy. There's millions, and I know that's an exaggeration, but there are so many other things I didn't even mention. And we are just fortunate that our high school supports us. Alan is very supportive of our program, and our staff is also very supportive and appreciative of the program. Thank you.
So now the challenges for the department have quit a little bit, other than having to deal with me as their administrator for the past couple of years. This department is enrollment dependent. So what the students are the lifeblood of the program. As they become part of the program at an earlier age, they will usually continue on. One of our principals years ago used to say, the specials are the playground of the core curriculum. And in music, that's a very true statement. There's so much that our students learn in our music program. If you want to see Common Core math, go to a music class. They're teaching Common Core math. They're teaching students the love of art and beauty and music. So it's a real challenge sometimes when we look at some of the major needs of this department. When I arrived here a couple of years ago, there was things that were needed to be moved around. We were lacking some instruments in some areas. And by some of our teachers moving into different buildings, we started to collect and do an inventory of some of those materials, realizing very quickly that some of our equipment is old. It's as old as the district is. And we needed to take it out of commission and get rid of them and start to buy some new things. We changed the philosophy here from a large number of our instruments being rented to starting to purchase newer equipment, things that will last a little bit longer, a little bit more durable. And that every building at this point, through the help of the Music Boosters in particular, with a donation every single year for the past 3 years that I've been here, we've managed to purchase over $100,000 worth of new music equipment for the district. We've replaced stands, we've replaced risers, we've put in new pianos, new seating for our students. If that sounds like a piece of equipment that's needed, a proper chair is essential in a music environment. So it comes with some issues, and we've now started some new program where we're looking at other districts, because as they're dwindling their programs and we're trying to keep our program sustained, we're starting to do an exchange program with other districts. We're trading instruments that we have in excess to other districts who have some of the instruments that we need, like that sousaphone that people needed to know what that was all about. And in the future, we're going to look for more use of technology. We have smart music in some of our schools right now, but there's a new world of electronic music. As we start to venture into this new age of technology and using BYOD at the high school and looking at the use of technology, we'll start to venture down that road. But I have to say that I am blessed to have a very good department underneath me. They're great teachers. They're dedicated individuals. They're the teachers that you'll see there before every school day opens, and they're late into the evenings and 7 days a week. So I'm proud to be associated with them. Thank you very much. Any questions?
I just have a compliment to make. I think that as long as I've known Three Village as a student and now a parent and a board member, I've been so privileged to hear so many performances and watch so many performances, and it really is astounding. So thank you all for all of the hard work that you put in and the inspiration you give to our children.
I just want to follow up on a comment that Mr. Scanlon made about school districts throughout the state, actually, the erosion of programs in music and in art. And this district has really held very steadfast to the fact that we are not going to let that happen. We do not see music and art and other programs as add-ons, but as integral to everything that we do here. And that will continue to be the case for as long as I'm in this role. And I believe the Board of Education is most supportive of that. So we are incredibly proud and could not be more proud of our teachers and our students and the fact that we really do highlight our music program. So thank you to everybody
involved. Thank you for your excellent presentations. Thank you. Turning to item 8. Items for board discussion.
As many of you may be aware, there's been a great deal of discussion about field testing throughout New York State. And last year, when our district was asked to be involved in PARC as a pilot, and PARC really stands for the Partnership of Assessment for Readiness for College and Careers. It is computer-based testing that we will eventually, as a state, be moving toward. And we did not feel, in speaking with our staff and our technology department, that we were prepared to do that. So, of course, as most districts that decided that they were not going to be involved in PARC as a pilot, we were asked, not asked, but told that we were going to participate in field testing. And field testing really is the 3-8 testing that students are involved in during the spring. The State Education Department has been involved in field testing with Regents exams and with state exams. And actually, in Regents exams, it began in 1938. So field testing is not something that is new. Well, last year when we were asked to, we received the packet to be engaged in field testing, I called BOCES and then called State Ed to find out if we did have to do it, because there was a lot of discussion about whether or not districts were obligated under state law to do that. And I was told unequivocally that, yes, it is an obligation for a school district to participate in field testing, that there was no waiver that you could get. There were school districts throughout New York State who opted not to field test. And as a result of that decision, what happened was it shifted the burden onto school districts that complied with the state requirement to field test. At this point, the Regents, the Board of Regents, to my understanding, will be moving toward making it mandatory and explicit. Wherein before it was implicit, it is now going to be, in February, explicit. There are school districts that are taking a stand and passing resolutions that say that we are not going to field test. The problem that we have in passing that resolution is that, first of all, it really is going to be moot. That's number one. Number two, field testing, I think what has happened is it's gotten attached to the Common Core. And I really believe that there are aspects of field testing that are important for us to be able to move forward with so that we can make sure that the tests that students are taking are valid and reliable. The State Education Department, the Board of Regents, has asked for an increase of $8 million so that what they can do is create a variety of different tests so that they can embed the test questions into the tests that students take during the regular period of time for testing. And that would be wonderful. Right now, they don't have enough versions. So if they were to embed the questions into those tests, what it would do is it would expand the amount of time students must take the tests. And that is unfortunate. What's unfortunate is that last year, I believe we took six or eight, Mr. Scanlon? Yeah, eight field tests. And the reason for that was because other districts did not meet their obligation in moving forward with the field testing. It is our understanding at this point that if they don't, what will happen is that there will be sanctions on those school districts that fail to do so. So I cannot at this point in good conscience recommend to the Board of Education that we go ahead with a resolution knowing that there might be consequences for our district.
Any questions or comments from my colleagues? Speaking for myself, I absolutely agree with your opinion. I think your decision and recommendation to the board, it's absolutely essential that all districts participate in the field testing that we just discussed. You need to have a representative sampling of the school districts in order to have a valid test and so forth. And I agree. In all too many cases, people are looking at this as a reaction against the Common Core. But I think it's absolutely essential that we do participate in the field testing, and I agree.
I just want to end with, thank you, Mr. Connors, with the statement that we are not advocating for more testing for students. Right. That is not what we want to see. I do want to see that the State Education Department moves forward with their plan to embed the test questions, the field questions, into the current tests and to have more versions of that test that are available for students. At this point, I can honestly tell you the 3-8 testing is not going anywhere. It is a federal requirement. It's not only for the State Education Department. And unfortunately, it is here to stay. There have been proposals to make it every other year. And perhaps by talking to our legislators, we can get that in motion. But as I said before, I don't think that we can pass a resolution that actually would be moot at this point.
Anyone else? Good. Thank you. Yes.
I was just going to say about the embedded test questions, just to clarify for people, rather than have additional questions added to the test that, like they were last year, that protracted the exams for students who were the ones subjected to taking them, these would be questions that would actually count in the exam, is that correct, as well as being the test sample, right, the field test? Okay, good.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Turning to 9 information items to the board, the information items?
No?
Okay.
I have one.
Do you have? Okay.
Yes. I do. We are very excited and pleased to announce that we have 2 Intel semifinalists that were announced today at noon, Jessica Ju and Eric Wong. So we are very, very excited, and congratulations to Jessica and Eric and to their advisor, Dr. George Baldo.
So. Good. Turning to number 10, items for board action. G, approved change order number 1, J.P. Daly and Sons.
We have this one change order. It's a deduction of $5,000. There was some electrical work done at Murphy Junior High School, and there was an allowance for unforeseen conditions that was not needed. So.
Okay, maybe Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Gish, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes unanimously. Turning to H, approval of side letter agreement between the Three Village Central School District, the Three Village Administrators Association, and the TVSAA employee named in the attached confidential Schedule A. May I have a motion, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Germano, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to H1, approval of a side letter of agreement between the Three Village Central School District, the Three Village Teachers Association, and the TPTA employee named in the attached confidential Schedule B. May I have a motion, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Germano, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Turning to H2, the approval of the memorandum of agreement for the United Public Services Employee Union School Monitor Unit. May I have a motion, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Germano, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to I, the approval of the appointment of an interim assistant principal at Ward Melville High School. It is good. Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Gish, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to J, the approval of the appointment of an interim assistant principal for Arrowhead Elementary School. May I have a motion, please? Mrs. Bevinker, and second. Mrs. Gish, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Turning to K, personnel instructional. Gary, anything?
There's nothing unusual here.
Okay. May I have a motion, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Germano, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Yes.
Mr. Connors, as everyone up here, I believe, is aware that the reason that we have these approval of appointments of interims is as a result of a resignation. So as a result of an immediate vacancy, we were fortunate enough to find some folks to assist in the interim capacity until the end of the school year. At this point, we are looking to do widespread searches in the New York Times come the end of January so we can start fulfilling some of these positions again.
Very good. Good. Thank you very much. I do the non-instructional piece. I did that. Okay. Turning to personnel non-instructional, may I have a motion, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Germano, any discussion on that? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Turning to L, the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education for the meeting dates stated. May I have a motion, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Germano, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. And M, the recommendations of the Committee on Preschool Special Education for the meeting date stated. Mrs. Gish, second. Mrs. Germano, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Turning to item 11, other items of interest. Are there any items that we'd like to bring to our colleagues' attention? Yes.
Yes. We'd like to talk about the GEA a little bit, the gap elimination adjustment. We've been talking about this for a few years now. It's something that we talk about a lot at the New York State School Board Association and the Nassau-Suffolk School Board Association and even in our boardroom. The GEA is a formula that's pretty arbitrary, and it's created by the state that so that it reduces the amount of aid that districts receive. in the past 5 years, Three Village has lost $29.1 million in state aid due to the GEA. So imagine if we had $29.1 million more than we have now. It would mitigate tremendous number of the problems that we've faced, and it could really be a wonderful addition, re-addition to our school budget and our school environment and learning opportunities for our students, most importantly. The GEA, because of the elimination of that money coming from the state, each homeowner has paid approximately $2,149 over the past 5 years additional in their taxes, in their property taxes, just because the state's not carrying their share of the weight. Please get involved in the effort to eliminate the GEA. Last year, everyone was very focused. There was a huge concerted effort toward battling the Common Core curriculum and state assessment, and it was great to see people organized and going to the state and confronting their elected officials, and that's terrific. We need more of that and a more focused and targeted effort for the GEA, because this is real money in our hands. And it gives the teachers in the classroom the ability to actually focus back on their work, which they do anyway, but focus more on their work, having less stress and less emphasis on testing and, you know, all of the other negative things that are going on, because they'll actually be more teachers and there'll be better sharing of responsibilities and weight on off people's shoulders. So help fight the GEA, eliminate it. And there's a lot of information on our website. You can go to the state association websites. You can Google GEA. You can go to the Nassau Suffolk School Board Association. You can contact any one of us, of our administration. Anything we can do to assist you. There are prefabricated letters. There are things that you can call and say on the telephone to your senator or assemblyman. And I would say really... Oh, and Cuomo, of course, and his henchmen. So please do get involved.
The elimination of the gap elimination adjustment is one of our top priorities. At a recent meeting that we had last month with Senator Flanagan, we strongly emphasized the importance of eliminating the gap elimination adjustment. And I think that as the economy is improving, thank goodness, that hopefully this year, certainly if not this year, by next year, hopefully it will be eliminated. It's been an absolute disaster for everybody. We've paid a very heavy price, very heavy price.
It's something like $30 billion statewide that's been kept from school districts. I also want to just acknowledge the Suffolk County Superintendents Association, who have, and Nassau County, but particularly the Suffolk County Superintendents Association, has really carried this movement forward too, and done a lot of the research work behind it, and really organized and gotten a lot of material produced, and it's been very helpful. They've shared it with a lot of different organizations locally too. So everyone's really kind of collaborating well about this, and it's something that I think if we can get our greater parent community also to participate in, as they did last year with the Common Core, we really could see some changes happening.
Good. Thank you very much. We now turn to number 12, public participation. This will be our second public participation session, again, up to 30 minutes if necessary. We ask each individual to limit his or her comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing none, do I have a motion for adjournment? Mrs. Gish, second. Yes. Mrs. Gimeno, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.